Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 54. We're talking about how we saw the Saw movies. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
And let's just, before we get into that, well, that's going to be a very interesting discussion. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. Let's talk about what we watched this week.
I'm still on my horror movie and Martin Scorsese kick.
That's a heck of a combo.
Well, you know, for the Halloween and then for Scorsese for next year's class. Let's see, I watched Casino, which... I know a lot of people prefer Casino to Goodfellas, but I still like Goodfellas better. Yeah, Casino is, I don't know, for me it was just so repetitive. Great story, terrific acting specifically by De Niro and Joe Pesci. All their scenes together are fantastic, but it's not my favorite Scorsese movie, and it's certainly his most gruesome, and I think in a real gratuitous way. I also watched The Last Temptation of Christ, which I gotta say I like better the second time I saw it. I still think the movie has a lot of problems, and the fact that it was so compromised and Scorsese did it on a really low budget, and he had such a limited amount of time to make it. He was only allowed 3 takes. He didn't even have a viewfinder to see if which takes were good. He made it under terrible circumstances, and the movie really shows how compromised the movie was, and it's terribly miscast, but there is some really, really incredible scenes in the film. And then from the horror movie standpoint, watch some of my favorites. Bram Stoker's Dracula is still my favorite vampire movie. What else did I see? Wolf, one of my favorite werewolf movies with Jack Nicholson.
Really?
Yeah. And The Lost Boys. You know, you got to watch that every year.
And did you watch The Tribe, though?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Canon. Lost Boys canon. The original Lost Boys. And I saw a really lame killer car movie called Dark of the Night. It's a Swedish horror film about a lady who buys a car that's possessed by a ghost. It has like 1 or 2 creepy moments in it, but for the most part, it's one of the mildest horror movies. In fact, I wouldn't even call it a horror movie. So,
Lost Boys?
No, Dark of the Night. No, it's different movie. It's this New Zealand horror movie.
Oh.
Yeah, really not very good. It's critically acclaimed. I have no idea why.
But and we were going to go see Dead Alive last night and then found out the screening was actually last weekend.
And I still haven't seen it.
This week was Labyrinth. So, yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't worth going to Denver for me.
I saw it in the big screen when it was in theater, so I didn't feel the need to do that again.
No.
So I saw all the Saw movies, but we'll get into that later.
Fair enough. And then I suffered through The Signal. I really don't get why this is considered such a fun, great cult movie. I'm sorry for everyone who did like it. It really started off as like this really interesting kind of a horror movie that, you know, doesn't really explain anything, which is okay. I don't have a problem with that in a horror movie. But in the second act, it tries to turn into Shaun of the Dead. And then it tries to go back to serious again. And it just doesn't work to try to switch gears so suddenly like that. If you're going to work a Shaun of the Dead type angle, keep the mix going throughout the entire movie. And it lost me, honestly. Mm. I just really did not like it.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Was it a similar story idea to The Happening, by the way?
I guess you could kind of say that. Essentially what it is there's a signal that goes through every single thing that can get a signal, radios, TVs, phones, whatever. And it drives people insane, essentially. Whether it's being homicidal or becoming super, you know, emotional or whatever that might be. And it was an interesting concept. I just didn't think it pulled it off very well.
Are the Amish the only survivors?
There were no Amish that you saw in the movie.
Huh.
That actually would be a very interesting take.
That's the angle I would have went. But
so it's like The Cell or like
theoretically,
Pulse.
Yeah.
It kind of like Pulse too, right? Because isn't that what Pulse was? With the goo?
I don't. But yeah, Cell, the Stephen King. Yeah, that's
yeah. Exactly. I only got like a half hour into Pulse before I had to shut it off because it was just bad.
Man.
Yeah, it's probably closer to Cell.
Okay.
So yeah, that's okay. Let's go ahead and talk about what's hit theaters this past weekend.
Well, it's Halloween, so it must be High School Musical 3, Senior Year, starring Zac Efron. And also, for all you Jigsaw fans, by the way, there's Tobin Bell and is Donnie in this one?
No
Donnie Wahlberg,
but no Danny Glover's kind of in it. Oh, and Amanda's kind of in it.
Okay, so just Tobin Bell in Saw 5,
Costas Mandalore,
which I'm really curious to see how they got Tobin Bell in Saw. I haven't seen Saw 5. I'll see it when it hits DVD. Seen the other 4 movies
because you should check it out.
Okay.
Well, but you watched Saw 4 too.
Yeah, I did.
Do we want to save all the Saw stuff?
Yeah, we will. Yeah, that's why I haven't mentioned it. Yeah, I'm caught up except for Saw 5. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
And Nightmare opened right too. Limited.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
In very limited. Release. Yeah. We only got one screen here.
Yeah. I was kind of surprised to see they scaled it back that much. They must have not made as much money last year or something.
Maybe because it's on DVD now and it's more accessible.
That's true. You don't have the whole thing. Okay. Well, before we get to the DVD releases, you need to tell us about High School Musical 3.
Oh, goodness. High School Musical 3. You know, for what it is, it's very good for what it is. My problem with it is the ending. It has a Lord of the Rings, the Return of the King ending. It goes on forever. It has a super, mega, ultra happy ending that goes and goes and goes. And at the last minute, there's this big plot twist about a saboteur among the High School Musical. And it's like, why is this here? And it goes on and on and on. And then finally, the actors take the stage and they bow and the credits start. But wait, there's outtakes, there's deleted scenes, there's LOL and stuff like that. Written all over the screen during the outtakes. It's like,
really?
This movie just doesn't want you to leave. It wants you to. It was like,
or
a
it really wants you to leave.
Well,
depending on how you look at it.
Well, considering, like, as a critic, I try to stay and watch like every part of the movie. I sat there and I'm just like, this thing just. It's like, be entertained. As for the rest of the movie, truly the dancing is dazzling. This is it's kind of like Step Up 1 or 2, only better, and that the dancing and the musical sequences are so good, it does salvage the movie. The plot couldn't be dumber or more silly or more painfully corny. The acting is fine for what it is. The movie itself is absolutely fine for what it is. I mean, really, if you've ever owned an album by Backstreet Boys or NSYNC or Miley Cyrus, then this is your movie. Because, I mean, so much of it feels like a boy band musical. And, you know, for what it is, it absolutely works just fine. This is not a great musical. It's not even up to, like, Mamma Mia. But for what it is, I thought it was very good for the most part.
They want to know how Zac Efron was.
How is Zac Efron? He looks like a cross between a young Rob Lowe and Jared Leto in this movie. And, you know, as far as his acting goes, I have no idea. I mean, he's basically playing the same role he's been playing since High School Musical Uno. But you know what? His dancing is fantastic. He really is a very smooth dancer at times. Like, man, he's really got like the energy and the creativity of like a really, no, I'm not going to name a really good dancer because it's Zac Efron, but I'll just say he's really, I mean, he really does deliver for his fans in this movie. And I got to say, this is, at one point in the movie, towards the ending, I counted a dozen 13 or 14 year old girls got up and started dancing in the aisles. And at first I thought, yeah, they're just pulling around. No, they were really going at it. And I've not seen this, since Annie. Since I saw Annie back in 1982, when I saw like the same thing, a group of girls get up on the screen where the theater was and just start dancing with the movie. So it's not every day you see that in a theater. And I have a feeling that Saw 5 didn't have quite the same effect on audiences. So, you know, for what it was a memorable experience, I got
to
say.
So let me ask, does it open the door to College Musical?
Unfortunately, yes. You know, not because of the story. I mean, really, this movie has a distinct ending that the other two didn't. But because it made $42 million this week, and I'm sure they'll pull these guys back in again. Or they'll do a sequel like 10 years from now, and Zac Efron, he will be the high school drama teacher. And there'll be like a new young group of people. You know Disney's going to milk this as long as they can. When a movie makes $42 million against Saw 5, you know they're going to try to make a High School Musical 6, 7, and 8.
Well, someone had to take one for the team.
I did. And you know, it's one of the better bullets I've taken all year. You know, at best, the movie's a guilty pleasure. Some of it, I would dare say, is dazzling. The staging, the direction is fantastic. A lot of musical numbers are great. But you know, it really wasn't that bad.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what's hitting DVD this week.
Well, on the other hand, there is Tinkerbell. This is the CGI animated film from Disney. You know, considering you've got Bolt, you've got High School Musical 3, you even got Beverly Hills Chihuahua, even Tinkerbell. Even Beverly Hills Chihuahua would be preferable to Tinkerbell, the CGI straight-to-DVD
I don't know, is she getting any bigger since the last time we saw her?
No.
Oh, no.
She's still the size of your thumb. Sorry, man. One of the surprise hits of the summer, Brendan Fraser in Journey to the Center of the Earth in 3D. Mystery Science Theater 3000, the 20th anniversary edition with four fan favorites that are picked.
Awesome. Yeah, it looks really cool, and it comes with a crow figure. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get this.
That's terrific.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty
crow
tight.
Figure? I've always wanted that.
Oh, yes.
From Troma Films, the critically acclaimed, I'm not kidding, Poultry Guys. Gotten great reviews, supposed to be really, really funny about zombies possessed by chickens. I guess I just have to see that one.
Okay, so they're zombie chickens.
Zombie chickens, yep.
Okay,
so yeah, some really funny pictures of it on the internet. But yeah, it looks like a pretty amusing movie. Flintstones, the complete series.
This is the cartoon, not, you know, the crappy John Goodman
movies. Yeah, yeah,
this
isn't the Flintstones and Flintstones Viva Rock Vegas. No, this is actual series. New. Isn't it on, like, all the time, though? Like,
it is, but still, you know, sometimes you will just want to, if it's a late night or if you're not feeling good, you know, if that's your show, it's a good time to pick it up.
I guess that makes sense. It's just like when people buy, like, Friends, the complete series, I just think, like, why? I
mean,
it's
well, on TV. Hey, what is Poltergeist?
What is Poltergeist? Yeah.
Specifically.
You know,
I believe
it, you know, it's zombie chickens, but
I think
and it's a trauma film.
It's like a bird. It's like a bird flu that when you're bitten by these chickens, you become like a zombie chicken, and you like become cannibalistic. And
oh, really?
Yeah, you should look at IMDb. There's pictures of it. That you got like actors like with fake beaks on, and they've got like they're sprouting feathers. Yeah, I mean it really is like Night of the Living Chicken. For those of you who've always wondered what a movie starring Robert Englund and Jenna Jameson would look like, there is zombie strippers.
Has anyone heard anything good or bad about this?
I've heard nothing but bad things.
Yeah.
The Onion did a review of it, and New York Times also reviewed it, and they said that it's not even a guilty pleasure, and that it just shows that acting is not Jenna Jameson's strengths, and that being in a movie this bad is really below Robert Englund's talents. Hell Ride with Michael Madsen, which got very mixed to negative reviews when it played very briefly in theaters over the summer. We were talking about Hell Ride, which apparently Quentin Tarantino presented but did not direct, so be warned.
Okay.
4 to 400, the complete series. My father-in-law is a big fan. I've not seen the show. Apparently it's a fantasy. It's kind of like Highlander without the Scottish angle. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah, about immortals. And then finally, Animal House, the 30th anniversary gift set.
Which actually comes with like a college yearbook.
That's awesome.
Which, you know, that's kind
of
fun.
If you're in college and you've not seen this movie, just drop all of your homework right now and just watch Animal House.
There you go.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, goodness. You'd love it. So. You would love it.
Yeah.
I had a big John Belushi poster in my dorm room all 4 years.
I think everyone does.
Yeah, you have to. It's part of the experience.
And Ethan says, or G-Man says, Hell Ride was awesome.
Oh, was it? So. Okay, we'll give it a look. It never came to the Springs.
Yeah, well, you know, we are kind of the wrong, our city's kind of the wrong demographic.
If it stars Kirk Cameron, we get it. If it's Michael Madsen, we don't get it. Sorry.
Yeah, we're like the one place where Fireproof actually expanded theatrically.
That's right. We're the reason it made $12 million domestically.
Oh, good night. Is that all the DVDs we got?
That's it.
All right, I guess it's time for Dave's news show, apparently. Hey. All right, so John Singleton has bailed and jumped ship off the A-team.
Mixed feelings.
Is this
about
a shock
this?
In any way, shape, or form?
Well, you know, he deserves better because he's a better director than the director of Too Fast, Too Furious, and Four Brothers. He's better than that. I wish he would go back to either making personal films or movies that matter not only to him but to audiences. But they didn't even have a cast for this thing or a script, did they?
No, there's nothing done. And it's supposed to be, like, the release date was, like, 8 months away.
Yeah, it was, like, next summer.
It's like, yeah, so they were going to do more script rewrites. And it's just all the signs are pointing to bad, bad, bad things. So I don't see how that could possibly be good. Something else that has happened I think was a very smart move. Daniel Craig has passed on Thor. He was offered the role of Thor.
Good job, Daniel Craig.
And, you know, I've been trying to be very positive, but the more I think about it, Thor is just kind of
it's too silly.
Stupid. Yeah.
It's too silly. It's fantastic as a comic book, but as a movie, you get a guy in that costume. Remember Adventures in Babysitting? That was fine for that part of the movie, but a whole movie with a guy in that outfit smacking people with his hammer?
And trying to take it seriously.
Yeah.
They could do it seriously. All superheroes are, like, stupid.
Do you think... Like, have you ever read Thor? Captain America would look.
No, I won't, but it's happening. I mean, but... It could be really good.
Remember Judge Dredd? How silly Stallone looked with that silly helmet on. I mean, you know, seriously. I think there's some comic books that are meant to exist strictly on the page. I just can't see it.
The sad thing is I don't think it could be a whole lot better than the Bill Bixby Incredible Hulk movie that featured Thor.
Or Steel, for Pete's sake. Steel. Oh. I mean, Shaquille O'Neal, really, perfect casting for Steel. That movie could not have been worse or sillier, him walking around that stupid robo suit.
Well, they could, but if they did it like in a fantasy type thing like Lord of the Rings and had most of the movie in Asgard, you guys don't think that would work?
But that's not the point of Thor.
Well, I know that.
The point is, it's like a 7-Eleven's being holed up. Who's going to save the day? This dude with the hat and the big hammer.
Goldilocks, yeah. The problem is that they're supposed to tie it in for the Avengers movie. Right. And that's going to be really hard to ground that at all in reality. At all.
Yeah. I'm starting to get a little concerned about that.
Well, so is Hulk, though. Hulk isn't any more outlandish than Thor.
Have you ever read a Thor comic?
Well, I know all the backstory behind Thor.
Yeah, you've never seen how like Thor talks. Like when
like
he
adores God.
Yeah, every time he talks, it's like I need to be slapped.
Well, fine.
I'm just, the more I thought about this, the less impressed I am with the idea. So, I don't know.
Really, you think the Hulk is sillier than Thor?
Well, I don't think it's, no, but I think that it's, like, contextually the same, like, silliness. Just because it's a man turns green and has purple pants on when he gets angry. That's silly.
But he smacks stuff around, though. And he's not wearing a silly little hat with wingtips on it.
You don't think if they downplayed his costume?
If they got rid of the hat, maybe. If they get rid of the hat.
Possibly. Okay, that's enough Thor talk. We're getting a little too much on the geeky side of things. Did anyone see the Gran Torino trailer?
No. Does it look
Clint Eastwood film?
Oh, no.
I've lost all interest in Clint Eastwood a long time ago.
So. He's so old.
But he's great. He's
I know he's great, but what is he? He's still old.
It's like an old man who beat people up. I don't know. Okay, I just thought I'd ask.
So it doesn't look any good?
I don't know. I
oh, none of us saw it. Okay.
Yeah. I was just wondering if you guys had seen it because it's Clint Eastwood and I haven't really liked Clint Eastwood a lot.
It's like an interesting idea. He's a war vet. He's got Korean neighbors and he fought in the Korean War. So he's like this racist redneck who's starting to harass them and threaten them. I thought it sounded pretty interesting.
Okay, I'm trying to cut down referring to the chat room too much just because for people who are listening later. But Ethan says, he literally says, get off my lawn.
Right. Well, it's like Harrison Ford, get off my plane.
Yeah, but, okay.
No. And I would have got away with two if it wasn't for those damn kids.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, he's Clint Eastwood has become a Scooby-Doo villain. That's pretty much what Josh just said. No.
Show some respect for your elders.
Yeah, and he
is. I have none.
All right, then.
Just kidding.
Wow. Okay. Well, did anyone see the Notorious trailer? I'm guessing you saw that? Okay.
Yes, I did.
I'm not a big hip-hop fan. I'm not a big Biggie Smalls fan. It's a good trailer.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm really surprised.
Oh, me too. I mean, I waved my hands in the air like I just didn't care. And I can't, you know, it's Anthony Mackie as Tupac and Derek Luke as Puff Daddy and Angela Bassett as Biggie's mom. I mean, I can't wait to see this.
Yeah, it great. Looks like a really good actual like story. Here's the problem. In a way, I'm kind of predisposed to hate this just because I'm done with Walk the Line and Ray and all these musician stories, but this is taken from such a different perspective that I think it's
still right. Could be and it looks good. Better than like get what's the
look better than 8 Mile?
Well, not 8 Mile. What was the other one with what's his name? 50 Cent. What was it? Get Rich or Die Trying. Yeah. It looks much better than.
I was going to say if it does what 8 Mile, what I thought 8 Mile was going to be, I think it could be really really good.
And this is obviously a very different story too, since he gets spoiler, he gets shot in the end. So very different story.
You know, it's kind of like watching Titanic.
Right.
The boat it's gonna end sinks.
Badly. Yes.
Yeah, I think I've only got one other thing here. Yep, the Friday the 13th trailer hit.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
No, I don't know. I haven't thought, I haven't made an opinion yet. They showed it at the Saw Marathon.
Okay.
And it was shot of the lake, shot of a cabin, and then you heard, did you know a boy drowned here last summer? And literally all the audience went, no! And then I think they
said cool way, or?
No, in a bad way. And people were booing all through the trailer.
Okay, then.
So. I don't get that, though, because certainly, like I've told you this, I've seen the original Friday the 13th on the big screen a number of times, at midnight screenings over the years in Denver. And every time I've seen it, it's always been for the cheese factor. It's got that one great scare at the end, but it's not a great movie. If any horror movie should be remade, I'm in favor of this one because it's not a good movie. It's not. And I consider myself a fan, but Friday the 13th, at best, is a total 80s cheese fest.
Yeah.
And the Nah Visitor as the mother, I thought the narration was kind of creepy with that she provided for the trailer. Yeah, I'm all for it.
Okay, cool.
So and that shot of Jason running up to the chick and just with the cleaver. Like,
it was, man. It was cool because it was like, oh, he doesn't usually do that.
Yeah, he doesn't usually
very
run.
True. Very true. And then there is one final thing. Did anyone see the Spike TV Watchmen footage?
Yes.
Yes.
There was a line of dialogue.
A line.
Yeah, but we've heard it before.
At least we know who's saying it now.
Did we want to talk about the ending news?
Oh, you know, okay. I'm going to put like a 2-minute warning on this. If you don't want to hear about the spoilers of Watchmen, skip ahead 2 minutes and then we'll stop talking spoilers. Here's your warning in 3, 2, 1.
All right.
So they got rid of the squid.
Yes.
I really am not that happy about that.
I'm very surprised, honestly. it just seems like such a, especially with CGI, with the direction that the director was going, it is surprising that it's not there.
Especially when they talk about, I mean, with every Comic-Con interview and everything, they keep the ending, they keep the end. No, you didn't!
But they did, and they did thematically.
Thematically, right, but not literally, yeah. I mean, it still has the same tone, you're right. But yeah, in terms of spectacle, did they think it would be too silly, too much like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea? I mean, what's...
I don't know. I'm... The problem is my doubts are starting to build up for this movie now because I have no sense of any of their performances at all.
Mm-hmm.
And usually some trailer is going to do that. Every superhero trailer has had some sense of what you're in for actually besides it looks pretty.
Yeah, after the second trailer, we had a pretty good idea that Heath Ledger as the Joker was going to work.
Exactly. And it looks good, but 300 looked good. It looked just like the Frank Miller book. You know, it's kind of like Sin City. You take a panel here, you take a panel, and there you match it up to the scene.
Yeah.
But there's a lot more character work in Watchmen than there is in 300, and that annoys the ever-loving crap out of me.
Yeah, I want a good story. It looks great. It really does. But you know, there's a lot of music videos that could look this good. In fact, the trailers are starting to just play like great music videos. How's the movie itself going to be?
Exactly. It's going to be all in slow motion.
My expectations are lowered, but I'm still keeping them.
I'm hopeful still, kind of, but it's kind of pushing it.
The visuals are so cool. I mean, that shot of Manhattan's huge hand coming down are pretty incredible.
The tank blowing up.
As much as that's as best as I could have hoped it would be. But at the same time, for Pete's sake, can't we have one shot of Patrick Wilson talking as Night Owl? I mean, like any sense of these performances.
Yeah. We got a clip of the sex scene.
Yes, we did.
And we get the mushroom cloud in the background.
yes. Yeah. Okay.
Let's go ahead and wave to
G-Man. Yeah, we're done with spoilers now.
Okay,
a little over
a minute and a half.
Yeah, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure that we... Yeah. I don't want to spoil the movie for people who don't want to know.
People who haven't read the graphic novel yet.
And I told Billy Flynn over at GRD, and he was like, what, they changed something? And I told him what had changed, and he said he would have hurt someone in the theater had he not known that was coming.
Well, I'm glad we saved someone's life.
Exactly, yeah. Stopping theater violence for Watchmen.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. So I guess that's good. I guess we will take a quick break and guess we'll have a commercial here and we will be right back.
Get your geek on in a Geek Label t-shirt. Shirts for gamers, geeks, and tech heads. If you like games, movies, computers, or comics, we've got your new t-shirt waiting for you. Let Geek Label change your life. You can go from...
Oh, hell no.
To...
Oh, hell yeah!
In the blink of a t-shirt! And the best part, every design is available in all kinds of silky, smooth colors and shirt styles. Short and long sleeve tees, and for the ladies, ringers, raglans, ladies' tees, even spaghetti strap tees. Feel fly, walk tall, be irresistible to the opposite sex. Alright, even we can't do all that. Hundreds of designs and they're all off the hook, yo! You pick the style, you pick the color, we do the rest, cause that's how we roll. Get your geek on at Geek Label. That's one word, geeklabel.com.
Alright, so for those of you who didn't watch the live show, Josh put on... you have the Jigsaw mask.
The pig mask.
Yeah, yeah.
And which movie does he wear this now?
All of them.
All of them.
Yeah, all of them.
Even the first one?
Mm-hmm. Yes. The pig mask does appear in the first one.
Okay.
So, we saw at least one of the Saw movies. Each of us have seen at least one of them.
Yeah.
And so, with Saw 5 coming out,
yeah,
I think I'm going to let Josh take the point on this one. Since you are the more Saw, you know, the Saw guy, and you've seen all five movies.
Well, but you have seen up to four.
I've seen all four of them. The first four, yes. I did see the fourth one this week. And so...
How are we going to go about talking about this?
Start from the beginning.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do like a Saw backstory history for those like myself that really aren't that familiar with this series.
Well, Lee Wan-L and James Wan just got out of film school in Australia, and they decided to write this script, and they spent like 8 months writing it, and they wanted to do a short film, and they had an agent that sent the script over to Lionsgate, just like. And for whatever, and Lionsgate liked it so much that they flew James and Lee out to California to talk with them about it. And before they went, James and Lee were like, you know what, we should shoot just a scene of the movie to show them and say kind of like, this is what we want the movie to look like. So they shot the jaw trap, and they built the jaw trap, they built a puppet, the Billy puppet, and filmed it on 16 millimeter. so they could go out there and show it to him. And I guess they went out and showed one of the Lionsgate execs, and he watched about 2 minutes of it, and he paused it, and he went and got like all the other people in the like producers in the building, and was like, "Oh my god, you have to see this!" So before they even like start talking about the script or anything, they sold the movie.
Wow,
to Lionsgate. And so they basically said, "We're going to be shooting in like the next 4 weeks, and we're going to cast everything, and we're gonna shoot it all in like a 4 week period."
That's cool.
So they shot it all, and then they premiered it at Sundance. And then Lionsgate. No, okay. So was it maybe it wasn't Lionsgate that saw it. I think it was some producers. Lionsgate saw it at Sundance and bought it to distribute it. So that was kind of how everything just fell right into place. What a filmmaker's dream, though.
The shorts, the short film you're talking about, the promo reel they did, is that available?
Like, yeah, it's on the Saw TV.
Does it look pretty good?
Yeah, it looks really, really cool. I mean, it looks exactly like the movie.
Oh, wow.
Except it's Lee Whannell who plays Adam in the first movie in the Jaw Trap.
Okay.
So, and, you know, they built the thing, and they built the little puppet that they use in the video and stuff. Puppet. Yeah.
Nice.
So, the first one, of course, you have the two guys that wake up in the bathroom, Dr. Gordon and Adam, and it's the whole backstory of how they got there, and they're trying to figure out how they're connected, and you get introduced. There's this killer named Jigsaw, and you see some of his traps and stuff, and then, of course, there's the big surprise ending. Did you guys like the ending to the first one at all, or...?
No. By the time I got to it, I was so desensitized and so just like drained by the bad acting. And
I was going to say the overacting. Yeah, that kind of. I know it's a universal easy out, yeah, but it still applies.
I just thought it was really disgusting, honestly. I
even for the lack of gore that they use?
Yes. Yeah. I thought a man having to saw his own foot off. Yeah, I thought it was really gross. I really did.
You didn't think it was cool at all? They got, well, should I say the ending? Or?
I think it's a problem that they left the room. I think all the police procedural stuff was a problem. I think they should have stayed in that room because that stuff was so compelling. I thought when they left the room that the movie, for me, it lost its grip because the movie had such a grip on me. And then whenever you get to the Danny Glover stuff, I thought...
It derails.
Yeah, I really felt that.
But the whole movie in the bathroom would have been so boring. Don't you think?
But I was on the edge of my seat, all that stuff. All the stuff with Danny Glover, right. I'm like, let's get back to that room.
Okay.
That's how I felt. So.
Well, and I had a question. You've pretty much answered it by when they were, you know, the way that they came about making the first Saw movie. Mm-hmm. Did they intend to try to make an interesting character in Jigsaw, or was it make the gore first and then try to come up with something good? And it sounds like it was the other, yeah.
It was mostly, let's try to sell a script and try to make a movie.
Okay.
And I think the idea of Jigsaw, they didn't know what they had when they first made the movie. Saw 2, they immediately greenlit Saw 2 because Saw 1 made like, what, 40 million opening a weekend or something ridiculous. Huge, huge, huge. Yeah, so, 30.
And it cost what, like 10 bucks?
Saw 1 cost $1 million. Saw 2 cost $4.
See, they did a lot with what they had. I will give them props that way. I know Barry and I are both mostly of the not so much on the torture porn side of things.
It's not torture porn, though. It's pretty good.
You know what I mean? But the genre. You know, the gore for gore's sake. I don't know.
Well, when there's little scares and there's an emphasis on real emphasis for the Fangoria crowd. Okay, I'm not gonna use torture porn because that does give a completely negative connotation.
It does. I think that probably applies more to Hostel, honestly.
Sure. And you know what? And for what it's worth, for a movie that I always go out of my way to praise, but I'll say, you know, Halloween, the remake that Rob Zombie did, that's torture porn. That movie was really out of its way disgusting and nasty at times. And So let's be fair about it. Let's just say it's a psychological thriller with a real emphasis on gore.
That's fair enough.
A real emphasis on gore.
And honestly, it really took that turn for the second movie.
Yeah.
I'll let you get into that one if you'd like. Or
okay, well, I was just going to name all the traps in the first one.
Oh, yeah, by all means, please. By all means.
Yeah, the traps are, you have Dr. Gordon and Adam in the bathroom trap where they have to saw their leg off. You have the razor wire trap with the guy that has to crawl through all the razor wire to get out. You've got the guy that's got poison in him, and he's in a room with glass all on the floor, and there's a safe in the middle of the room, and the antidote for the poison is in the safe, and the combination's written somewhere on the walls. So he's got to find that. And then you've got the Amanda's jaw trap. You've got when Danny Glover's character and the other officer try to find Jigsaw, there's that guy that's like in a trap when they find him, you remember, with the drills?
Yeah.
And Zip has the poison in him. That's it.
Okay. So. We've had a request for what if we want to actually... define what torture porn is? Is there an actual like a definition, or is it pretty much just something that people make up for something that's super gory?
Well, Horrorhound actually did a really terrific article on this. They named all the films specifically where this began, and they, surprise, surprise, Saw's in that list. They mentioned Saw, and again, they weren't saying this as a negative connotation, just to simply come up with a label. They mentioned Saw, they mentioned House of Thousand Corpses, they mentioned The Devil's Devil's Rejects. They mentioned the remake and the sequel to How the Hills Have Eyes, the remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Basically, any film where the gore is so explicit, where the camera basically just kind of lingers on the violence. You know, we're not
take center stage.
We're kind of past the PG-13. In fact, we're past R in some senses, where the gore is just kind of overwhelming. You could pretty much like taste the blood in the back of your mouth as you're looking at it, because it's so richly disgusting and graphic. You know, so this something like, and a lot of these movies, you know, and again, this will sound something of a criticism, but it's being honest, a lot of these movies really aren't scary. They're really just really, really intense. Gross and violent. Yeah. There's no scares. There's no suspense. It's just like you're watching these people being tortured within an inch of their life. And, you know.
I do have to say, though, Saw 1 is the only one that I actually did feel scared during. There's the whole scene where Adam comes out of his photo room and it's dark and there's somebody in the room and he uses his camera to flash and kind of see where somebody is. Mm-hmm. There's stuff like that in the first film that actually are like good, significant scares, and okay. It's not just all traps.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, not all of it's like that, but you know, there's so much. I mean, this genre, if you want to call it a genre or subgenre, it's been tainted by the likes of Captivity. Yeah. It's been tainted by Turistas.
And Hostel.
You know, yeah.
Even I have to cut slack for.
There you go. Well, yeah, you know, again, and I think we're trying to not so much criticize these movies as get to the bottom of this. I mean, really, this is a genre that, you know, if it was ever respectable. It's just not anymore, because there's been such an overwhelming amount of, even that that Lindsay Lohan movie has been called torture.
Yeah, that really was.
Yeah. Me. I know who killed my career.
Yeah,
no one.
Okay,
what killed Josh's night? Saw 2. James Wan didn't want to direct another one. He said he would be in support of producing it, and Lee Whannell kind of said, okay, I'll try to write something. But Lionsgate was lucky enough to have a script fall in their lap again, this time written by Darren Lynn Bousman, which was about all these people trapped in a house and they had to figure out how they were all connected. And they said, this is Saw 2. This is what we need to do with Saw 2. So they hired Darren to come in kind of like a first-time director, kind of like James was, and they took a script and he worked with Lee Whannell and they wrote the Saw 2 together. So that's how the second one happened.
It's cool that it worked, because similar thing happened at Artisan with Blair Witch 2. The original filmmakers stepped out, the producers and different people stepped in and directed it, and we know how that turned out. So it's interesting that even though they kept it in-house, even though the hands changed, it's still, by most accounts, everybody says Saw 2 is probably the best one.
I don't know. It's pretty split on that one.
Yeah, I
usually if people hate 2, they hated 4.
Yeah, but there's really a difference of like people that love 3 and hate 3. It's like, but it's same with 2, I guess, too.
Yeah.
So,
but we're talking about 2 right now.
2.
And one of the things that this is what made me actually kind of appreciate the Saw films is that they actually decided to talk about the character of Jigsaw and what makes him tick. I'm very famously on record for saying that if you talk about the origins of a villain, you pretty much castrate him. In this case, he the way that Jigsaw operates is laid out in such a way that it's very moralistic. So yeah. It actually requires a good bit of explaining. And I think they did they made him actually a very interesting character, which surprised me.
Well, I mean, all the scenes with him and Matthew and Donnie Wahlberg's character talking, it's just like so edge of your seat.
That was the most, you know, gripping part of the entire movie.
And how lucky was Lionsgate that they had Tobin Bell sit on the floor all the first movie and not do anything. And finally, it's like, okay, you have to actually be the villain in the second one. And he turned out to do such a good job.
Yes. Yeah.
So, and yeah. I think all watching it again, those are my favorite scenes with him and Donnie, because he's so intimidating, but yet he's this cancer patient that's sitting there, can't even get up to go get a glass of water for himself, but he has control of the whole situation. So
absolutely. There are revelations in the future movies, but you know, that made me maybe not like Saw 2 so much, but they made sense. They mm-hmm. stayed within the character. They actually established a character in Jigsaw and kept him true to who he is, as opposed to Freddy Krueger, who becomes this joke of who he was initially. Yeah. And Jason, who's never really taken all that seriously in the first place, honestly, they actually made someone who is scary because of his convictions.
So he's like John Doe from 7.
Very much so. Actually, it's a very good correlation.
And it's weird because I'm not like soliciting, hey, you should go out and put people in traps. But you understand like the way he's thinking, not necessarily that you agree with it. So, and like he says that he truly thinks that he hasn't killed anyone.
No, because he gives them the choice to straighten out their lives, but there's still a price to be paid. You could make an argument. I'm not saying this is a correct argument, that this is like the Uber right wing taken to its logical conclusion. That there is a price to be paid for your actions, and stuff comes around, and if it doesn't come around, some people do take it upon themselves to enforce justice.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Jigsaw's a complete whack job.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But he's a very interesting one.
Yeah, it's not every day you go to an AA meeting. It's like either give up alcohol or climb through the little pit of syringes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of syringes, Saw 2 had... it opened up with the head trap where the key was in Michael's eye, and it was like a Venus fly trap that was going to close on him. You had the furnace trap where Abby gets stuck in the furnace. You had the needle pit. You had the hand trap with Addison, who reached her hand up in the box, and like the razors were right there. And then you had the bullet hole and shoot your face off.
Yes,
trap people. So
it's funny when I think about the Saw movies, I really don't think about the traps at all.
You don't?
It's okay, because, that's good, it's because of the character of Jigsaw. That's the part that I actually found interesting. So that's the part that I tend to dwell on.
And it seems like a lot of horror fans feel that way. You know, that, yeah. Certainly the ones that, like yourself, that defend the movies, they're always saying that, you know, it's the story is so interesting and they're interested to see the crazy twists. Like, do you know anything about the writing process of this? Because it seems like they've sat down, they must have really like come up with like the sequels and the way the lore is going.
I think by the time we get to the third one, when they're like, okay, we need to have Saw 3 out by next year, and they hired Darren back as a writer and director, he really did sit down and say, what do we want? How many films are we going to make? Are we going to make 6 films? What story can we do to at least get an idea of how we can chapterize it?
Absolutely.
Because sitting in the theater for 12 hours, I didn't feel like I was watching different movies. I felt like I was watching one big Saw opus.
Yeah.
But Saw 3, I know you had real problems with.
I did. Well, let's finish up with Saw 2 really quick. What I want, one thing that was very fascinating about Saw 2 was the twist. We're not going to talk about the twist specifically, you know, the details of it, but I thought it was very well done. They pulled it off beautifully.
You mean in regards to the New Apprentice?
In regards to the entire storyline.
Okay. Yeah. That's like one of my favorite when they reveal that. It's like, no way.
Yeah.
No way.
And Saw 3, yeah, no, didn't like it at all. because it didn't seem to be that much about Jigsaw.
What did you feel like it was more like Jeff's character and Amanda's character
Pretty much. I don't even remember the other characters' names. That's how much I don't care about everyone else, really, quite honestly.
And by Saw 3, I don't know if this is going to give away the ending or not, but Amanda is actually, you find out that she's helping Jigsaw and is supposed to be the one carrying out his ideals once he dies. So the movie really does focus on her and kind of proposes the question of if she's really someone that can keep his traps alive and stuff. But she's really messed up. And did you like her at all?
No.
No, yeah.
No. And that's the problem that you're going to run into is the character is so interesting. He has his own he has a very specific set of motivations that we're not going to spoil here that set him in motion to become the character/person he is. Whoever he gets to try to replace him, not going to be the same thing by a long shot. No one's going to get that same, be coming from that same place.
Okay, I disagree. But
okay,
the other main storyline was Jeff, whose son had got hit by a car, and the person that hit his son actually didn't have to go to jail or anything.
Yeah.
So he has to make the choice of whether to.
That was actually kind of interesting.
Jigsaw put the people that were involved in this investigation into traps, and Jeff has to make the moral choice of, do I let them live or do I want to act out my revenge and not help them at all? So that's a really interesting idea.
Yeah, it's the theory behind it, you know, forcing someone to make that really tough choice. And you can say it's actually, you know, it's a kind of a sick and twisted, you know, tribute to the good in humanity. That when you could have let this person who led directly to your son's death, you know, generally speaking, throughout these movies, people make what is quote unquote the right choice.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. Playing God then, essentially.
Essentially, yes. You get to put someone's life in your hands and you get to choose. And it happens almost in every movie, at least once.
Yeah, and it does. A lot of the fourth one is like that too.
Yeah, much of the fourth one. And it shows that, you know, even in these very difficult circumstances, people try to do the right thing still, which I thought was a very interesting take.
Yeah, because he really does, I think, once he realizes that, oh my God, these people are in traps, tries to help them. But, so, I don't know. I think the third one is, I like it a lot. I like the way that they ended it. but it is really so dark that it's just hard to sit through.
It is.
And that was really the turning point. My poor mom went with me to the marathon. That was the turning point for her. She was like, I can't. She goes, I wish we would have just came for the last two. She goes, I don't know if I can stomach another two movies.
I really don't like the third one at all, because that one kind of got back to my problem with the first one, which is where it was all about the traps.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care about the traps. I care about the characters behind it. Now, for the gore hounds, hey, they're all good to go.
I think it's the least gory of all of them, too. But the traps are so sickening, and
yeah,
you don't want to watch it, that it's like...
They kind of go the Seven route, where they don't necessarily show you everything.
Yeah.
But they let your imagination run, and which is always going to be worse than anything they can come up with. Although they do come close in these movies.
Yeah, yeah. You had the chain trap where the guy had all the chains in him and had to rip him out before the bomb went off. You had the girl in the freezer that froze to death. You had the guy that was in the big vat with all the pig guts going on him, and he had to get out. You had, yeah, of course, the rack, which was the crucifix type thing with the guy that had his limbs tied in the thing and they twist one at a time. And then you had the rib cage trap with the Detective Carey that had been in all three Saw movies. Yeah. No, I was really sad about that, too, that they killed her character off.
Yeah. Spoiler.
Well,
pretty much if someone's
we have to spoil something.
If someone not Jigsaw is in a Saw movie, there's a very good chance they're going to die. Just know that.
Okay, so the fourth one. So you just saw the fourth one this week.
So I saw the fourth one, and I had some very serious qualms about going into this, because the third one had a very definite ending to the character of Jigsaw. That's all I will say.
Mm-hmm.
And to their credit, they found a way to make one more movie with Jigsaw. I don't think you can do another movie with him.
Okay.
I don't see where they could go from here. But they got even more into the background of who he is. What's his real name?
John Kramer.
John. Who John is, what led him specifically. You know, they get into his motivations kind of, sort of, in Saw 2. But once you get to 4, it gets very specifically into what drove him to do what he did. And what kind of man, and how much faith he had in humanity at one point, and what caused him to lose that, which I thought was a very powerful and gripping story. And I never thought I'd be saying that about a Saw movie.
Yeah. Well, yeah, most of the movie is just a flashback.
It is, but it's also very well done.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a good story and it's well told, I mean, again, the traps didn't do much for me.
Yeah, that's the problem with that one, too, is I mean, all the stuff with Rig and having to chase save a life and stuff, it really was not interesting. I was cared about what happened to Jigsaw, you know?
And that is, if there's a weakness, that's what it is. It's that, you know, the emphasis put on Jigsaw to a point where it's to the detriment of the other characters. There isn't the same development. You know, okay, here's Rig, you go on this mission, and this is what happened. Go! You know, it's like that's all the actor's motivation was when he started.
Yeah.
So, it's not a perfect movie by a long shot, but if you're interested in a good character story, again, it's worth checking out, I think.
Did you think it was too convoluted? Because I still think that has the most problems out of all of them, like storytelling-wise.
At first, I thought they were pulling a Saw 2. I really did at one point. I'm like, if they go back to this well again, I'm going to be very upset, and I might crack this disc in half and have to buy you a new copy. Fortunately, they didn't. It was very convoluted. There was about 5 minutes, 5 or 10 minutes near the end where I was just like, what the heck's going on?
Yeah.
And they, to their credit, they understood that was happening and decided to clear that up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
But I felt like at the ending of the fourth one, I still had all the questions that I had at the beginning of the third, at the end of the third one. I was like, nothing was answered. That's what I felt like. I mean, as far as like Hoffman's now involvement, that was like, okay, great, but I still don't have any. Where's Jeff's daughter? You know, what was
caring.
In the envelope? You didn't care anymore?
I quit caring. No. The linchpin in this series was the character of Jigsaw and how they fleshed that character out.
But you said you liked this one, but Jigsaw's like barely even, I mean, except for the flashback stuff, he really doesn't play that big of a role.
He doesn't.
In the progression of the story.
But it was a very thorough explanation. You know, the character, Rig, was not at all fleshed out because essentially he was walking through the journey in Jigsaw's place. To explain who he is, where things came from. And then the flashbacks just really, they really added to the flashbacks. I guess I should put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, sure, maybe it's only about a half hour of the movie that I really, really liked, but I really, really did like that half hour of the movie.
Did you like the trap with the guy that had his eyes sewn in the mouth?
No. There's no point to it. Really cool. Here it is. There's no point to it.
Okay.
That's pretty much what it comes to. I mean, yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was not... a fan. The whole thing about how Donnie Wahlberg left the series was pretty much completely pointless as far as I was concerned. I understood what they were saying.
That they kept him around? You didn't like the fact that they kept him around?
The way that they dispatched him and a couple other characters was just really stupid.
It's just like, okay. I understand. I like seeing him again, but I liked his involvement more in the third one. The fact that, like, he was still in the bathroom.
I guess.
And stuff. No? Okay. The traps in that one were the blind and mute trap, like I said, the hair trap with the girl that had her hair and the twisty thing.
That was pretty messed up.
The limbs trap with the guy that was, like, raped and murdered girls, and then he had his limbs pulled off.
Yeah.
The Cecil the knife trap, which was Jigsaw's first victim.
That was downright sick.
Yeah. That was awesome. You know, the anatomy trap with all the pendulum, the two people on the pendulum with the spikes in them.
Oh, the spikes. Yeah, the spikes were, yeah, that was messed up.
And you had the Donnie Wahlberg trap with the three people in the room. I don't know how to describe that one.
That's really all you need to say, because otherwise you end up giving up a little bit too much.
And then you had the puppet, officer that her puppet's face exploded.
Yeah, one thing I liked about the fourth one, they kind of explained a little bit what was up with the puppet.
Yeah, yeah.
He made the puppet for his unborn child, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then certain things come about.
Yeah, he had the little mini one, right? Little Billy.
Did it look that scary when he made it initially for his kid?
Kind of. It was like this little creepy little like doll, but now it's of course like this big thing. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's really weird. Yeah.
And then I'll let you take the fifth one since that came out this week.
I love the fifth one. I have to say, I'm really glad that I mean, it's a journey that I'm not ever going to go on again. But sitting through
until next October when Saw 6 comes out.
No, I'm not going to do it with that even. But sitting there I wasn't disturbed by the violence because I was really sitting there saying, okay, what haven't I noticed yet? What questions can I raise?
You've also just been sitting through 10 hours of gore anyway, right? Pretty much 8 hours of gore by that point.
Well, I'm saying like during the other movies, I wasn't focusing on the traps or anything. I was saying like what's a plot hole I can try to find? What's a question that I can raise to see if they finally sum up everything in the fifth one? And by the time we got to the fifth one, it starts right away. They answer where Jeff's daughter is. They get everything that needed to be answered, that the questions that were still alive for the past four, out of the way like that.
Okay.
So it's immediately like, okay, I don't have to worry about any of that drama anymore. The story is really a police story of Agent Strom from the first run trying to find out if Hoffman is Jigsaw's new apprentice. And Hoffman's kind of trying to avoid that. And it was such good payoff for me. There's not a twist in the movie. You basically know. You just follow the characters in the story of what's going to happen next. But there's not a twist. And that's what everyone's complaining about.
Okay.
Is that there's not a twist.
It almost sounds like you're talking about Zodiac, but not on that level.
Yeah, all the police stuff is awesome. The story with the people, there's five people in this like maze that they have to go through traps to survive. Feels like it's there because there needs to be traps in the movie.
Okay.
Simple as that. They find an interesting way to tie these characters into the story that actually goes back to Saw 2 with the houses. And the fact that there are two houses.
Okay.
But it's like, do we really, okay.
Do we care?
But really the story, all the stuff with Hoffman, they prove that he is the one that is going to be awesome to carry on Jigsaw's like legacy. He lives up to what if somebody needed to carry on that weight, he's the guy to do it.
Okay.
So
I'll just believe you on that one.
I loved it. I really loved it.
So sitting through all five movies in a row, first of all, were there a lot of people there?
There's about 100 people there.
Okay.
So, and I won the big standout thing with the Jigsaw's face on it.
The big six foot thing.
I had to answer. I had to say all the Nightmare movies in order.
Okay.
And they threw it away when I went to go get it. I told them to keep it for me, and they trashed it.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah. So.
Boo Cinemark. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like a Saw trap. It's like you went for it.
You're not here by 9 in the next morning. We're going to throw it away.
Wow. Okay. So what's
the trap count for number five?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. So you had Strom. He was in a box that filled up with water in his head, and that was one of the traps. The traps that the people have to go through that are in the maze, the beginning when they wake up, they have these neckties on, and there's keys in the middle, and they have to run to the keys before their thing snaps them back and decapitates them.
Lovely.
Okay.
There's a big room with all these keys and these jars and three sewer pipes, and they have to smash the jars and get in the sewer pipes before the room explodes. dumb. There's one where there's all these electricity things, like stations that they have to connect to the water to make the door operate to open before the room explodes. Dumb. Then the final trap, there's this big box that's got these blades in it, and they're supposed to let out 10 ounces of their own blood to fill this cup to make the door open. Dumb.
Okay.
And then the very beginning, the first trap, which was like awesome, was like a pit in the pendulum trap. There's this guy that's strapped to this table, and there's a pendulum above him swinging, and he has to break his... There's these devices to stick his hand in that will break his hands.
That's the Comic-Con clip, right?
Yeah. That trap was like, holy crap, that's awesome. But the other ones were like, meh.
Okay.
And then they actually the last one was the glass box trap that Jigsaw was building in Saw 4.
Okay.
That you saw?
Yeah.
Like that thing? That was the last one.
So is Jigsaw actually in Saw 5?
Yes. Everything that he's in is the story of how Hoffman got to be the new apprentice.
Okay.
Of him training.
So pretty much Tobe Mell is now done with the Saw series.
He's done. There's no... Nothing.
Unless, he's like, he's done. Unless you got Jigsaw Rising about his youth.
No. Oh, man. The involvement of his wife is in the movie. John left her a box, which they don't answer, but they kind of do. If he said, if the day that I die ever comes, I've left you information that needs to be dealt with, and I trust you. And it's this box that the lawyer gives her. You don't find out what's in it, but
okay.
It's like, okay. But he's done. There's no more.
Okay.
No more stuff. But like I told you, they go back to even answer questions about Saw 1. Like, why was Dr. Gordon framed in the first one with Danny Glover's character? They go back and, like, answer stuff like that I, like, forgot about. They went out of their way to appease the fans to, like,
So essentially they're making, they've finished the first Saw, what's the best, the first volume of Saw.
Yeah.
And now they're getting ready to go to Saw the Next Generation, essentially.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily mean that's a mean thing. But
okay, yeah, so they've wrapped out all that storyline. There's nothing more to tell.
Okay. All right, fair enough. All right.
So what do you want and what do you expect from Saw 6?
I want Hoffman to die. I just want everyone thing to be done with. I think Jigsaw's wife needs to go so we don't have to worry about her anymore. Not that she's like suspicious, but it's like, yeah. You know, what I loved about the first one was really Hoffman's role was to annihilate all the corrupt cops in the department, which they basically did through the course of the movies.
Okay.
So it's like, what justice, you know, maybe he sees now that he's the only one that's able to do justice instead of the police or something. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what they could do anything. So.
Okay. Maybe we'll have the John Doe moment from 7 where he turns himself in or something. And
yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, yeah, if he actually does turn himself in because he feels guilty or something.
Or he's just done. So
it's yeah. Like, so
okay. Cool. Well, thank you very much for the retrospective.
Yeah.
And no, we've been pretty thorough in talking about this, I think, too. I know you were kind of bored for this one, but
you know. I was just interested. I found it very interesting, honestly.
Cool. Right on. Well, let's talk about what's hitting theaters this week then.
Well, not to be confused with Sarah Langdon and The Paranormal Hour, you have The Haunting of Molly Hartley.
With absolutely no name that I possibly recognized.
This
at
doesn't
all.
Even sound like The Exorcist of Emily Rose. It's like, who is Molly Hartley? Yeah, who are these people? What is this movie?
And why should I care?
Exactly. On the other hand, you've got Kevin Smith's new film, Zach and Miri Make a Porno, starring Seth Rogen and the wonderful Elizabeth Banks. That's it. What a strange Halloween.
Should we talk about the ad campaign, how they've actually dropped it and just called it Zach and Miri? I'm not shocked that they had to do it.
Oh, yeah.
I actually kind of expected that all along, honestly. Yeah, that it'll always be Zach and Miri, yeah.
For like, I was watching Sunday Night Football, and it's like they did this commercial. I'm like, they're not going to say the whole name. There's no way. And sure enough, it's Zach and Miri.
But last night at SNL, they called it, at midnight, they showed the ad, and they called Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
So yeah, it's also not in prime time, so right. They could probably get away with it.
Very interesting.
Porno is a bad word.
Yeah, well, in this particular context, I can definitely see the argument for it.
Well, it's like the Bill and Ted sequel was originally called Bill and Ted Go to Hell, and they apparently didn't want 7-year-olds running around going, go to hell, so they changed it to Bogus Journey, but it was... Even when they shot it, and up to when they started promoting it, it was going to be called Bill and Ted Go to Hell. So,
okay, then.
I guess there's some things you just can't say in a poster.
Yes, and you can't talk about Zach and Miri yet, can you?
No.
Okay.
Sorry.
Fair enough. No, that's okay. That's why I'm just asking.
Appreciate you asking.
Yes. No, I don't want to be like, oh, what'd you think? Oh, I can't talk about it. So I figured it's always better to ask that question first.
Thank you.
And then let's talk about what DVDs are hitting next week. There's some good stuff out there.
Very interesting week. Not only do you have the theatrical film, which a bunch of us here really liked, but also Get Smart, the film, and the complete special gift set. And yeah, and the film itself comes also in a 1 and 2 disc special edition. So
yes,
interesting. Not sure what's on the second disc. Outtakes,
probably. Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of my favorite films of the summer. A great film if you haven't seen it yet. Seriously, this movie delivers. Kung Fu Panda voices everyone from Jack Black and Dustin Hoffman. Futurama, Bender's Game.
Yes.
That's going to be good.
Yes. It's Futurama meets D&D, pretty much. That's what the previews look like, at least.
Pretty sweet. Batman, the complete animated series. Fantastic.
I own all 4 volumes, and I think I'm going to have to buy it again.
This is, of course, for those of you who remember,
I'll take
this
your
completely in
hey,
the look.
We might talk after the show.
The look and tone of the initial Burton films, as well as some of the darker Frank Miller and the darker Bob Kane stuff. I mean, the look, the feel, the storytelling was rich. The voice acting was great. I mean, this is one of the great, great animated series
of all time.
I would go that far.
Absolutely.
Not so good. Shrek the Halls, which unfortunately played. I actually did see this thing. It was on TV last season. I think they wanted to make it like the next. You know,
Star Wars Christmas special.
Well, that's how it played. It was really terrible, really, really terrible. On the other hand,
I'm not going to ask the questions that come with that. Okay,
no. And then a film that I really like. A lot of us really liked. And if you search your heart and just admit it, you know what? You really like this movie too. Waterworld, the 2-disc extended edition. People always think this movie is so hated, and it was like the biggest flop of all time. No. You're thinking of The Postman. Waterworld was a hit. Waterworld was actually a box office hit, and it's a fun movie. You know what? It's not Dances with Wolves, but it's a good film. Fraggle Rock, the complete series. Good stuff.
For all of you who bought like the first 2 seasons, you get to buy them all over again because they didn't release the rest of them in volumes, which is pissing off a lot of fans, I know.
Yes. So, well, yeah. Brush up on your radishes, get Fraggle Rock the complete series. A movie that was made years ago, finally getting a DVD release, Return to Sleepaway Camp. Everybody from Joe Pastore, from The Sopranos to Isaac Hayes, I guess would be his last released film.
Well, Soul Men.
That's right. Okay, good. I'm glad it gets to go out on Soul Men.
Which I heard was terrible, but...
Yeah.
It's going to be probably better than Return to Sleepaway Camp, though.
That's true.
So, yeah.
So, we'll see how that goes. And then finally, our crap title of the week. You know what? It doesn't really get
that wasn't
much.
Trek the Halls?
No. This sounds much worse. Barbie in A Christmas Carol.
Oh, that's right. I forgot I found that one.
You know, you had Michael Caine as Scrooge, Bill Murray as Scrooge. I can't see Barbie going through that journey.
She'll be the Bob Marley character. Why did I just go there? Bob Cratchit, my bad.
Well, because there's
why
Marley and
Bob Marley.
Because there's Marley and Marley from the Muppets Christmas Carol.
Still,
so,
yeah.
No, I was tracking with you. I get it.
Yeah, I was going with Bob Cratchit. Yeah, she'll be downtrodden and yeah, or something. I don't know.
Yeah, no, truly a mistake. I mean, great title because it sums up exactly what it is. But man, if that isn't a warning. Seriously, don't get, sometimes when it's like, it's the Christmas rush and you're running around for presents like for your niece, please, listeners, don't get, there's so many great films like The Iron Giant or The Boy Who Could Fly. You could run out and get your kids as a blind buy, they absolutely love it, but Barbie in A Christmas Carol, that's
why?
Up there with, yeah, I mean, even Tinkerbell would be a better choice.
Oh, yeah, that's like Oscar caliber, I'm guessing, compared
to... Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I won't say what we call it. There was like, what was it, the Barbie and the 12 Dancing Princesses? They actually made a game of it.
I mean, who's the Ghost of Christmas Past? Why? I mean, is it Ken? Come on. And it's, yeah. It's just.
It's actually Tobin Bell.
Hey.
That would be, actually, I would. That would suddenly make it a must purchase if that happened.
Well, you thought it was over, but I have one more thing to say.
Uh-oh.
Because I just thought of it. If you guys have not seen any of the Saw movies, don't do a marathon, honestly. You need to have time for these films. I know Peter had only seen the first 2, and he went to the marathon on Slash Film.
Really?
Yeah. It's so much information to take at one sitting that by the time you get to the next movie, you'd still be thinking about the other one. You need to let these sit. So if you're going to do them, do it weeks apart or even months. I mean, honestly, maybe next year, just one, 6 months or 5 months before Saw 6 comes out. Watch one a month. Don't unless you're a fan, don't watch them all at once. I highly recommend
it. You'll feel
it.
Like you're in one of Jigsaw's traps
yeah,
if you do.
Yeah, no, so. You will.
And I'm good having seen them once, and I'll never watch them again.
Got it.
Yeah, there we go. All right, well, let's move on to some mail because we have 2 bits of mail. I'll start off with our first bit of print mail from Joel. It says, hey, Screen Geeks, just wanted to drop a quick line to let you know that you forgot one of the best teen movies of all time, Heathers.
Oh, no.
I don't know how he missed Heathers. Yeah,
oh,
I love
no.
Heathers.
I love Heathers.
I just rewatched it recently and was pleased to find that it holds up pretty Okay, kind of well. Parts of it anyway. But it's Winona Ryder, and wannabe Jack Nicholson. How can anyone not like it? It's such a twisted movie. I love
what
that,
is it about?
That flick. Oh, wait, hang on. Wait, we've got to, we'll finish it up, then we'll get to that. Okay. As for books to movies, well, I've got a confession. I love the Disney version of The Swiss Family Robinson. There goes my credibility of any sort of person with taste I know. No, I'm right there with you. Because as different as it is from the book, I think it managed to capture an innocence that would not appear if they were trying to remake it today. You know, today they would hire Mick G or what's his name from X-Men 3, and they would turn it in, the entire thing, into sex and explosions, which is not what the book is. Great show, guys. I love listening and hope to hear more soon. So essentially, you know, the Crusoe movie that just opened on NBC, that just looks, you know, like not at all Robinson
Crusoe.
Completely
unnecessary,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it looks absolutely idiotic.
Is it going to look cool?
It's supposed to be like Castaway.
Oh.
And suddenly there's pirates. It's turning into, you know, the Jack of all trades. I don't know. Okay, so Heather's.
It's basically a parody of the reaction, the politically correct action to teenage suicide. It treats its subject completely seriously, yet it completely makes fun of the way reactionary groups, the way high school teachers, the way parents like try to like sit down and have a talk about teen suicide with their kids. And you know, it's like it's completely making fun of that mentality. But it's also basically about about how Jack Nicholson. It's Christian Slater. It's Christian Slater, and
but
Winona
he is
Ryder.
Pretty much trying to channel Jack Nicholson.
Yes, and he does it very well. They basically go around and you know what? Jawbreaker was the poor man's Heathers. Jawbreaker was trying to be like Heathers, but really the Heathers was Heathers. And it's you know, I haven't seen it in a while. I was actually going to see it next year, since next year's the 20th anniversary. But I thought it was great when I saw it.
Yeah, I watched it. I think I watched it last year. Steph and I watched it, and we were just like, this is so twisted, but it's so good.
It's very sick, and Shannon Doherty's death scene is very memorable, to say the least.
Yes.
But I couldn't recommend Heather's higher. I really enjoyed Heather's. And yeah, that's a great high school movie.
Most definitely. Yeah, I can't believe we forgot that one.
Yeah, shameless.
And then finally, we got a quick voicemail from the Vicar over at GRD, so let's go ahead and play that now.
Hey, Screen Geeks guys. It's the Vicar from Geek Radio Daily. Commenting on your episode of books that were made into films, more specifically your question about books you didn't like that were made into films that you did. And I can only think of one from my beloved Merchant Ivory collection. I got to go to The Remains of the Day, which, unusual in the sense that it's not adapted from, like the Howard Zinn stuff, Ian Forster, which seems to be something they like to mine. Remains of the Day, I'm in a car, so I don't remember the name of the author. It was a Japanese, of all people. You'd think it would be an English writer, and it wasn't. It's a Japanese novelist, a tiny little book, like a 150-page book, that I thought was absolutely dull. Had I read this before the movie, I know I would not have spent money on a ticket. But as much as I adore The Remains of the Day as a subtle and layered film, the book, really, I don't know how they got that much out of that book. So check it out. Read it. I mean, just to say you did, and then watch the movie, you'll know what I mean. Cool. See you.
Remains of the Day, great film. I have not read the book, and you know, maybe I should. Great film. I really, it was
well,
a very.
He didn't like the book very much, so it's like, it's worth it for a compare contrast type thing. But
yeah. But yeah, with the film with Anthony Hopkins, Emma Thompson, and Christopher Reeve, I thought it was a fine film. Really enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
Cool. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up.
Yes, most definitely. And if you would like to shoot us an email, you can hit us over at podcast or Josh or Barry or Dave or Ethan at screengeeks.com. And if you want to leave us a voicemail, you can give us a call at 719-387-1804. And I guess we'll just go ahead and...
Wait, did you want to add... Oh, no, we're done. I'll later to rest. Never mind.
Okay.
You sure?
Well, I was going to say, did you want to know what my top three Saw movies were?
Yes, I did.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for reminding me.
Your top three favorite Saw movies.
Top three picks for Saw.
Sorry, yeah. Yeah, don't go into too much detail because...
Okay. Shoot. It's the acting is so bad in the first one. Probably 2, 3, and 5.
2, 3, and 5. Okay.
Interesting. Okay. Very interesting. Huh. And then finally, last bit of news. Did anyone see the new Harry Potter trailer?
No, I haven't yet.
Ethan, I think, is getting ready to post it up at screengeeks.com. And it actually looks pretty decent.
Cool.
I kind of want to see it. So you know, I've seen the first five, so hey, there's...
The
you know,
teaser
what,
looked awesome,
left.
Actually.
Yeah, and this one actually seems like it looks pretty good.
Good.
I'm excited about it.
Excellent.
So until next week, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Jigsaw.
That was bad.
I know. Josh.